Let's all turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Last week we were on being empty to be filled. And I trust that you remember that first step. You have to be emptied before you can be filled. Our whole series here is be filled with the Spirit, and you got to be emptied to be filled, and we spent a lot of time on that last week, and it is very important that you understand that. Don't lose that, because that is very, very important that we understand. We got to say, God, I got to be filled, so I got to be empty of the flesh to be filled with the Spirit, and it's wonderful there. In Ephesians 5, verse 1, it says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children," come on, "and walk, live in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a sweet-smelling Savior." Verse 8, "And ye were sometimes darkness," you were lost, you were unsaved, hellbound, "but now we are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit," live the fruit of the Spirit, "is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Verse 15, "See then that ye walk circumspectly." Note that one of the theme words is what? Walk, live. Don't run. Walk, don't sit, walk, live every day. Verse 15, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time," making most of every opportunity, "because the days are" what? "Evil." Wow. "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." You shouldn't be living in the unknown. This morning, we're going to look back and see where God has brought us. I trust you really do that. You know, I'm pushing you to do it, but you have to do it, and you have to think of some sins that you don't do anymore. And as I was thinking about this, I realized there are also some sins that I never got involved in. You know, I was reared in a Christian home, and my mom would kill me if I did some of those things. So I didn't do them. Am I a better man today? Oh, man. Oh, man. I hope you have a mother like I did that kill you for doing wrong. And you know, my mama did tell me, "I would rather see you dead than not serving Jesus." Yeah. My mama told me that. That's how I grew up. And I said, wow, wow. It became very serious. Verse 15, "See that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding." Aren't you glad we can understand what the will of the Lord is? And here it is. "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess," wherein is ruin, debauchery, dissipation, all kinds of reckless actions, "but be filled with the Spirit," and be obsessed with the Spirit, just gripped, energized, focused. And here it is. We're going to catch some of these. We're going to spend all of our time next 3 or 4 weeks speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks. That's what being filled with Spirit is. "Always, for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." That's being filled with the Spirit. Last week we were, be emptied before you're filled. Be emptied of the flesh. Daily catch flesh flowing in your life and say no, no, no. And throw it out empty so that God can fill you. It's wonderful. This morning we are remembering and celebrating. We are remembering and celebrating. Everybody look at chapter 2, verse 11 to 13. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. And to just realize, we got to remember, 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 and then celebrate. We're in remembrance here of our past loved ones and the soldiers, and we're celebrating. That's what Memorial Day is all about, remembrance. But here we're in Ephesians chapter 2, and it uses the word remember. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in times past, remembering the past, remembering times past, Gentiles, ye being Gentiles in the flesh. Verse 12. That at that time, when you were lost, when you were unsaved, ye were without Christ. Ye were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in a world. Can you remember when you were lost? You need to remember when you were lost. You need to remember before you found Christ. You need to remember that and then celebrate. Wow. Verse 13. But now, I love it. I was that, but I'm not that anymore. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh, made near by the blood of Christ. You can start walking with Him. This is our theme today, is the more passionately we remember and celebrate past victories over some of our sins, the more it will inspire us to be committed to strive for present and future what? Victories. I just want you to ring that. We're going to hit that a couple times. That's what we're all about here, is remembering past victories so that it'll inspire us on and commit us more to present and future victories. The Cubs. They're not doing too good this year, are they? So they got to remember past victories. Now, last year they didn't even have a past victory to remember. Okay, but now they can remember and celebrate what happened last year as they lose this year. Okay, no, I'm just kidding you. They got to remember and celebrate. They've had this trophy over at South Bend. Is that right? It came to South Bend, you know. And I'm not a great Cub fan, but anything that's close by that wins, I get excited about a little bit. And to remember and celebrate past victories. Today we are celebrating Memorial Day. My dad was in World War II, okay? And this is his flag that he got at his funeral. And we remember, is that right? We remember and celebrate, okay? I got a picture of his tombstone there over in our grave spot here in Elkhart. And that's my dad, MZ. And he was in the Army. And he was in World War II. And we remember and celebrate our World War II victory. Is that right? We remember. Don't forget. Down below his tombstone in the grass is John 3:16. He's got another victory there too. Okay? And we remember and celebrate these victories. What victories? I want you to start thinking. You know, I've been thinking on these things to grasp these things that we celebrate. I've been celebrating a character flaw that I've been working on all my life. It's called organization and planning. And it's not a part of my personality, but I have been working on it. I've been working on it. Notice I have to work on it all the time, okay? But I'm doing a lot better. I can celebrate that. I used to be very unorganized and very unplanning, very spontaneous. I'm just only 50% spontaneous now. And it's been wonderful. Another victory that I'm celebrating is right here. Y'all know what this is? It's either you love it or you hate it. ever since last Wednesday, I've been on a diet, a crash diet, for 10 days. Okay, I need all the help I can get, I tell you. Chocolate is calling. Hello, Mike. Chocolate is calling. I've lost 5 pounds. Okay. Man, that wasn't good at all. I knew. But is that something you got to celebrate? Huh? You do. 2 years ago, I lost about 16 pounds, 17 pounds. That's as far as I could get. And I celebrated that till I gained it all back. And you know, you got to remember and celebrate. Right now, I'm remembering that I did lose 16 pounds 2 years ago, and I can do it again. Huh? And I got to go at it with all my being. And it's you know, my wife made cookies yesterday, and I did not eat one. I ate 10. No. One. I did not eat one. But those are things that you celebrate and you realize, wow. Kids, you should celebrate the time that you learned to ride a bike. Is that right? Wasn't that a great time in your life when you were scared, then all of a sudden you started riding, and then, whoo, and then you ride with no hands, and then, you know, and you celebrate those times when you were doing things like that and enjoying the bikes and everything, and you realize, I can do that. What about the time you learned to swim, huh? How many cannot swim? Wow. You need to do some celebrating, you know. You know, once you learn to swim, wasn't it wonderful? Wasn't it wonderful when you learn to swim? That's a victory. Wow, you're not afraid of water, and you learn to ride your bike, you learn to swim. You were into that. This morning, we are remembering and celebrating past victories over some sins, huh? I want you to think back and say, I don't do that anymore. I don't do that anymore. I used to have a problem in that area, and I don't have it. Or an area that I've never been afflicted with that area. I've never been afflicted with drinking or alcohol, okay? Never. If I touched it, my mom would have killed me. So I never. And it's something. I've never been afflicted with drugs. I don't know what drugs smell like. My dad would tell me, there's drugs here, Mike. I'd say, Dad, how do you know that? You know, he knew more about it than me. And you realize there's some things that you didn't get involved in, and I praise God for it. And you realize that's what I want each of us to celebrate this morning: past victories. And it is very important that we do that, and to remember Ephesians 2 verse 11. Remember that you used to do this in your past life before you were saved. Remember, but now you don't do it. That's where you remember and you celebrate, because it's past and it's under the blood. Very important. Get your papers out of Colossians. Colossians, let's get your papers out there to remember every victory over past sins that died, and celebrate that they are gloriously dead. I printed this up because I wanted you to keep with me here. The Amplified is a hard version to read because it's half commentary, but it really spells it out well. And I want you to go home and read it, because it's great. Ephesians, we read Ephesians last week. We went to mostly the highlights of Ephesians. We're going through the highlights of Colossians this morning. Colossians and Ephesians are very close. They wrote about the same topics, and very close two books. He sent one of them to the church at Colossae, where he had never been, and he sent one to Ephesus, and to encourage them to walk in the Spirit, to gain victory, and to realize past victories. And as I read this, I want you to think of past sins that you have fallen off, and rejoice and remember and celebrate. Colossians chapter 1 verse 3. I hope you're with me on your piece of paper here. It says, we give thanks to God, The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we pray always for you, your prayer life. For we, catch the red. The red is something that I emphasized. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, how you lean, this is an interpretation here, how you lean on him with absolute confidence in his power and wisdom and goodness. Amen? And of the unselfish love, that's agape, which you have for all the saints, God's people. Verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about it, we have not stopped praying for you, asking specifically. Isn't that a great word? Sometimes we don't ask what? Specifically. I really love that. That's inserted right there by the Amplified people. Asking specifically that you may be filled, that's our topic, with the knowledge of him, in all spiritual wisdom, with insight into his purposes, and in understanding of spiritual things, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Here's a description of it. Displaying admirable character, moral courage, and personal integrity to fully please him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work, and steadily, catch this, growing. That's where we want to be filled. In the knowledge of God with deeper faith, clearer insight, and fervent love for his precepts, for his word. We pray that you may be strengthened and invigorated with all power according to his glorious might to attain every kind of endurance and patience with joy. That's wild. That is the key passage there. That's the key passage of the book, that you grow steadily in the Lord. Verse 13. It talks about how great salvation you have. For he has rescued us and has drawn us to himself from the domain of darkness, our unsaved world, and has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption because of his sacrifice, resulting in the forgiveness of sins. I love this little parenthesis right here. And the cancellation of sin's penalty. Amen? Man, I want you to remember right now when you got saved. That is a victory. That is your first major victory that you realized, wow, I'm lost. I need a Savior. When did you get saved? Remember that time. Remember who led you to the Lord. Remember some circumstances, some crisis around it that you felt a need of your lostness to be found in Christ. Remember, celebrate. I don't think we celebrate enough. We get all stuffy and settled in our Christian walk, and we forget that one day we were lost. And one day we were hell-bound, and one day we were without hope and alienated and strangers. Is that right? And I got saved. And that day should never get over. And sometimes we let it get to a place where we take it for granted. Verse 15. He is the exact living image, the essence, manifestation, the essential manifestation of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible. Isn't that wild? Talking about the invisible, and Jesus was the visible of the invisible. Now think about that. This is heavy here. The firstborn, the preeminent one, the sovereign, the originator of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities of all earthly stuff. All things were created and exist through him. That is, by his activity and for him, through him, for him. And he himself exists exists and is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. His is the controlling, cohesive force of the universe. For it pleased the Father, for all the fullness of deity, the sum total of His essence, all His perfection, powers, and attributes, to dwell permanently in Him, the Son. Amen. Now you need to say what? Amen. Wow. You know, that's our God. That's our Savior. That's Jesus. He's deity. That's powerful. We're on the winning team. Wow, that's something. Verse 29. For this, all of this, what Jesus is, because of this, Paul says, I labor often to the point of exhaustion, striving with His power and energy, which so greatly works within me. That's why I fight the good fight of faith. That's why I stand for righteousness. That's why I remember when I was lost and I got found by Jesus, saved. I remember and celebrate. I remember old sins that I used to do and God gave me victory, and I don't do them anymore. I remember things that I've not even been tempted by. He protected me, and I have any thoughts in those areas. I've been exempt, and it's been wonderful. Chapter 2, verse 6. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in union with Him, reflecting His character in the things you do and say, living lives that lead others away from sin, having been deeply rooted in Him, and now being continually built up. That's being filled with the Spirit. In Him, and becoming increasingly more established in your faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing in it with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive. This is what the devil does. Through philosophy and empty deception, pseudo-intelligent babble. Does that describe 20th century intellectualism? You know, pseudo-false, intellectual, man's wisdom, nonsense. Okay, babble. According to the tradition and musings of mere men, just religion, not relationship, following the elementary principles of this world. I was studying the word elementary. That means basic. And most commentators say it means the demon world. That to following the demons. And no, we don't do that. Rather than following the truth, the teachings of Christ, for in Him all the fullness of deity of the Godhead dwells in bodily form, completely expressing the divine essence of God. Is that wild? That's our Jesus. You need to realize who you serve. Chapters 1 and 2 just... You serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's your Savior, and He's empowering you, and He's going to take you to heaven, and He's going to give you joy and peace while you're going there. So praising. Chapter 3 is the put on, put off. Therefore, if you have been raised with Christ to a new life, sharing in His resurrection from the dead, keep seeking the things that are above. If you've been saved, come on. Now start living it. Keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your affections and keep focused habitually on the things above, the heavenly things, not on things that are on the earth, which have only temporal value, not eternal value. For you died to this world. You don't have to sin. And your new life, your new real life, is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our what? Life. Christ, who is our life, appears, the rapture, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Turn it over. So, I love these words. Because of all this truth, because of all this doctrine, because of this reality that you have in Christ and all He is and what He did. So put to death and deprive of power the evil longings of your earthly body with its sensual and self-centered instincts, immorality, impurity, sinful passions, evil desire, and greed, which is a kind of idolatry. And here's a description of idolatry, best I've ever seen. Because it replaces your devotion to God. Now that's heavy. Whatever replaces or gets close to your devotion to God is an idol. Verse 6, because of these sinful things, the divine wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience, those who fail to listen and who routinely and obstinately disregard God's precepts. Those are lost people. Verse 7, and in these sinful things, you also once walked before you were saved, when you were habitually living in them without the knowledge of Christ. I love verse 8 again. But what? But now, I love that. But now rid yourselves completely of all these things: anger, rage, malice, slander, obscene, abusive, filthy, vulgar language from your mouth. Do some of you remember used to have a mouth like that? You should just rejoice. You know, I don't think we rejoice enough. I don't think we remember and celebrate. Man, I used to have a filthy mouth. I knew a man one time. He just said, I was sitting with him and I had a relationship with him, and he was just cussing all the time. I put my arm around him at work, and I said, do you know what comes out of your mouth about every other word? He says, I know. I cuss all the time. I just say dirty words all the time. He says, I was a Marine in the Marine Corps, and we just learned to what? To cuss. And he says, I wish I could stop. Can he stop? Yes. Do you have to replace it with other words? Yeah. Instead of saying the cussing words, say, oh, mother-in-law. Gets the same reaction. We need to rejoice. My mouth didn't used to speak this way. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And he says, so do that and come to that you used to speak this way, and you don't have to speak this way. Get rid of vulgar language from your mouth. Verse 9, do not lie to one another. Kids, do you remember the day that you told your last lie and mom or dad really put the Board of Education to your learning and you haven't lied since? Hope you catch that. Is that true in your years? Lying, cheating, you ever cheat? You ever cheat and got caught when you was in younger school and you never done it again? Huh? Stealing, that was happened to me. I was a terrible thief at the age of 3, okay? And my mom, put the Board of Education to me, and I learned not to steal. And I've not been tempted since. And, I stole rubber bands. And my mom marched me back to that guy and said, my son stole these rubber bands. Say you're sorry, boy. I'm sorry. And the man said, oh, that's not bad. Mama says, oh, yes, it is. And we can learn some of these things in youth? Saves us a lot. Is that right? Saves us a lot, lying, cheating, stealing. We're prone, and we need to know that this thing called lying. Do not lie to one another, for you have stripped off the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new spiritual self, who is being continually renewed. That's beautiful. In true knowledge, in the image of Him who created the new self. Verse 12. So, as God's own as God's own chosen people who are holy, is what holy means, set apart, sanctified to for His purpose, and beloved by God Himself, put on a heart of compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience, which has the power to endure whatever injustice or in unpleasantness comes with good temper. How many of you have trouble with your temper? You know, don't raise your hand. Your temper. How many have gotten some good victory over temper? Huh? Come on. That's really neat. You need to rejoice in that. Verse 13, bearing graciously with one another and willingly forgiving each other if one has a cause for complaint against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so should you forgive. Beyond all these things, put on and wrap yourselves, that's what put on means, in unselfish love, that's agape, which is the perfect bond of unity for everything is bound together in agreement with each one's seeking the best for the other. That's unity. Let the peace of Christ, the inner calm, this describes it, the inner calm of one who walks daily with Him, that's peace, be the controlling factor in your hearts, deciding and settling questions that arise. To let peace, indeed, you were called as members in one body of believers, and be thankful to God always. Verse 16, let the spoken word, the scriptures of Christ, have its home, just residence, within you, dwelling in your heart and mind, permeating every aspect of your being. That's what dwell in you richly means. As you teach spiritual things and admonishing and training one another with all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your heart. Just a direct quote, Ephesians and Colossians right together. And then they go in. Colossians is a little smaller, Ephesians a little bigger on this next section. Verse 18, wives, listen up, ladies. Girls, wives, be subject to your husbands out of respect for their position as protector and their accountability to God. Is that pretty good? As is proper and fitting to the Lord. Wives. Husbands, wake up. You know, I only got 5 minutes. Come on. Husbands, love your wives. This is great here in parentheses. I love this. With an affectionate, sympathetic, selfless love that always seeks the best for them. Is that a pretty good definition? That is awesome in the Amplified. It says, and do not be embittered or resentful toward them because of the responsibilities of marriage. Don't do it. Children, teenagers, obey your parents. I'm pretty plain. Hope you've learned to obey. To not obey is painful. Okay? Children, obey your parents as God's representatives. They're God representatives to you in all things. For this attitude of respect and obedience is well-pleasing to the Lord and will bring you God's promised blessings. Know that. Fathers, this verse needs to be echoed in our world. Do not provoke or irritate or exasperate your children with demands that are trivial and unreasonable or humiliating or abusive, nor by favoritism or indifference. Treat them tenderly with loving kindness. Is that a mouthful, huh? I thought that was well put. So they will not lose heart or become discouraged or unmotivated with their spirits broken. Come on. Don't do it, dads, moms. This is employees. Verse 22, servants, in everything obey those who are your masters on earth, not only with external service as those who merely please people, but with sincerity of heart because of your fear of God the Lord. Whatever you do, do whatever your task may be. Work with your soul, that is, put in your very best effort as something done for the Lord and not for men, knowing with all certainty that it is from the Lord, not from men, that you will receive the inheritance, which is your greatest reward. It is the Lord Christ whom you actually serve, and he who does wrong. Catch this, verse 25. Everybody look to verse 25. Powerful verse. For he who does wrong will be punished for his wrongdoing. Man, we have a lot of people getting by with wrong today. Is that right? Injustice, unfairness. As a Christian, you get taken advantage of all the time. I want you to know, one day, all unrighteousness will be made right. And it will be judged. And you need to take courage in that. They will get their just reward. They might win here on earth, but they will get their just reward, so you do right. And it says, he who does wrong, verse 25, will be punished for his wrongdoing. And with God there is no partiality, describing that in parentheses, no special treatment based on a person's position in life. Chapter 4, masters, employers. On your part, deal with your slaves, your employees, justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Then it winds down here, verse 2. Be persistent and devoted to prayer. I hope prayer's alive. Being alert and focused in your prayer life with an attitude of thanksgiving. Conduct yourself with wisdom in your interaction with outsiders, non-believers. We're talking about believers. Now we're talking about unbelievers. Making the most of every opportunity. That's what we're doing for VBS. Treating it as something precious. You have the ability to share the Savior with lost people. Wow, precious. Let your speech at all times be gracious and pleasant, seasoned with salt, so that you will know how to answer each one who questions you. In the summary verse at the bottom, Colossians 3:17. Let's all read it together. Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence on Him, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him. Colossians, book of Colossians. 20 minutes, that wasn't bad. We need to catch that, man, there's some things that I haven't done that I remember, and I haven't done them for a while, and I celebrate it. Everybody get your personal victory paper out, personal victory chart out. Everybody get your personal victory chart out. I found this on the internet, and I created it a little bit. I'm glad that it all moved around so it looks halfway decent. This is a personal victory chart. We don't have time to catch it, but I want you to do this. I really do. I want everybody to do it. Teenagers, that's why we have the grade schoolers up. You need to do this. Mainly the first two is I want you to do. And you've got to truthfully and realistically fill it out. The victory box. You see the victory box there, the red victory box beside them all? You need to check it. If you used to be bothered by this, and you are not anymore, you've gotten victory. Jesus has given you victory. The Holy Spirit has helped you get victory, and you need to celebrate. You need to mark it there and celebrate. And then the secondly is to put two checks in the victory box that you have never really struggled in this area, that God has graciously protected you from this area. You need to have those two checks and one check all the way through it. I want you to do that. And And I want you to have a party. We're supposed to be part. We're partying tonight. I would like people to share this tonight. Share what victories that you've gotten in the past and what victories that you never had to go with. There's one of them, incest. Aren't you glad that didn't happen in your family? It's horrible. Horrible. And if it didn't happen, it's wonderful. And you just realize, man, murder. You know, those are issues. You thank the Lord for those things, and you realize, wow, those are just wonderful. Witchcraft, astrology, the occult. Wow. I'm so glad I never got involved with that. I want you to know, when you get involved with that stuff, it messes you up. And I want you to, I can't say this enough. I really want you to fill this out, because this could be something, especially when you get into the A, B, and C part. It should be checked somewhere in the victory box or in the A, B, and C box. And then declare war on some of these. There's some sins you've gotten victory over in the last 6 months. Amen? There's some sins you are just a week into. You've been working. I've been working on this week. I'm a week and a half into this. Okay? And I don't like to look at that thing. But with God's help, we're going to make it. Huh? And to realize that God's the all-powerful one. He's deity. And He's with me. And He's going to work with me. And He's concerned. And He supplies me power and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. I can get victory. I need to remember and celebrate my past victories over sins. And victories that I didn't have to battle, that God gave me in my upbringing. And then I need to start praising God for the ones I've gotten 6 months victory on. Woo! And then start praising God for the 1 week and the 2 weeks and the 3 weeks. Amen? And then attack those others. Attack those others. That is so important that we gather that and realize, God, help me. The victory chart. Remember and celebrate. Remember and celebrate. I trust you're there. We got to be filled with the Spirit. That's our text. Last week was be emptied to be filled. This week is remember and celebrate past victories. Every head bowed, closed, every eye closed, every head bowed. Where are you? Are you getting closer to God week by week, day by day? Are you growing? Is He getting more precious? Our first step is to be emptied of flesh. Work at it. Declare war on your flesh and to be filled. And this morning's second step is to remember and celebrate past victories over sin. Drawing near to God. This is how next week it's being filled with the Spirit. We're going to start in. How many this morning say, preacher, I needed this message. I need this message. Raise your hand. Come on. Come on. I need it. Preacher, I needed this message. Celebrating, remembering victories over past sins. Do it. I trust you believe that you can get victory. To this whole system on Wednesday nights. Come and join us right in the middle of this study. But be filled with the Spirit. Be emptied of the flesh by remembering and celebrating past victories. Do it this week. I want you to fill out this personal victory chart and pray over it and rejoice over the ones that you have never had battles with, that you've been protected from, ones that you have won the victory over in the past, the ones you have gotten 6 months over or more, or even the ones you've only had a week over. And rejoice and fight the good fight of faith with the Holy Spirit. Victory! Victory! That's the joy of Jesus. That's the peace that passes all understanding. That's the purpose of life, realizing that God's with me and God's helping me. God's bringing me alive. God's giving me victory. God's helping me. I don't have to do wrong. I can do right. I can bless my children. I can bless my employers, my employee. I can bless my wife or my husband. I can bless my neighbor. I can do right. God, give victory more this week than we had last week. And Lord, do it. Pastor Kyle's going to pray for us.
Our Father, we are so thankful that when we talk about our salvation, we realize that there is a lifetime of sin and discouragement and depression and frustration and all the terrible things and feelings that are associated with sin, that's behind us. And there's a lifetime and a future of glory ahead of us. We thank you that you revealed your love to us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. In the midst, fully aware of all of our weaknesses and lusts and temptations, Christ gave himself and now invites us to change and calls us to sanctification. Thank you for the reality that where sin did abound, that was past, and grace did much more abound. May grace continue to abound in our lives. May we accept it, embrace it for change as we follow Jesus. As in his name we pray these things. Amen.